This week's mailbag comes to us from B. My win for the year. The Christmas tree was up and decorated at the start of the month. Last year, all I had up was a Charlie Brown Christmas tree with one bulb that I had meant to give as a gag gift, but I never did. Sometimes it is hard to see the progress, but I knew that I had gotten a little further ahead this year. It's extra special because most of the ornaments were made by the kids or hand-painted by my husband's grandmother. The next week, our well went out and I lost my car key, but at least the tree was beautiful.
Do you have an organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Summer is a season. I used to think that summer was only a big deal because I was a parent and I had to figure out how to fill 10 weeks worth of time for kids and how to entertain them and basically become the camp counselor. And I thought that as the kids got older, that maybe summer wouldn't be a thing. But having been a kid and then having kids, like, summer was always a thing. And when I didn't have kids, I was a teacher, so summer was a thing. But I thought that adults didn't get to have summer. We do. Everybody gets to have summer. It's not just a school-related kid thing. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Summer is a season. I kind of hesitate to say this because sometimes it's like, oh no, I didn't think about it that way. And other times it's a really good perspective. So I've heard many preachers or professional development people talk about how you only have so many summers. It really is I'm 51. So how many more summers do I have? I like to say I have at least 49, which is a lot of summers, just as many summers as I used to have. But how many more summers do we really have? And when you put this in context of children, it becomes very, very clear, like, oh, wow, yeah, like whatever age your kids are, that's how many summers you have until they're 18. Because let's be real, just think back to your own childhood. In the summer, you had your own goals, objectives, and things you wanted to do. One of the things that my father-in-law did really, really well, and I would like to emulate, is he prioritized a summer family vacation for the family. His family always did that, and he did that for his family. Now, Greg's parents are divorced, so summer was, you know, growing up, the only time that he got to see Greg, because he lives in Florida and Greg lived in Ohio. So he would get Greg for 2 or 4 weeks. I don't know how long. I did not grow up in a divorced family, but if you did, you understand there's a certain time where you get these couple of weeks with the other spouse that you don't live with full time. I think that might have been where this started. I'm not sure. But when I met Greg, the tradition was in full swing, and Greg was 24 when I met him. So the tradition is this: the last week in July, we all travel to the beach in Florida. Now, as an Ohio girl, my dad had a tradition, and the tradition was on spring break, you left the cold Ohio and you went to the warm Florida because that made sense seasonally. But I guess if you live in Florida, you travel to the beach in Florida. Apparently that's the thing. So that's what we do. We go to the beach once a week in the summer as a family, as an extended family. So Greg and I go, our kids go, Greg's dad goes, his brother comes, cousins. It's great. I love it. It is a huge gift that our family has been given that I didn't always in every phase of life really appreciate. There are seasons where I was like, I can't believe we have to go to the beach. Like, I mean, who says that? Who says I can't believe we have to go to the beach? Are you kidding me? Well, I did. You know, there are seasons where you're a little more naive and yeah. But I love it. I love that tradition. Greg looks forward to it every single year. Like, he lives for his week at the beach. He literally lives for his week at the beach. And when you think about that, one of the neat uniquenesses of the fact that my father-in-law has done that is that, you know, Greg and I have been married, what, 28 years? And we've had 28 years at the beach. Like, that's amazing that we have 28 years of memories where we all stop what we're doing and we meet at the beach for a week. So I want to start this podcast by, what is your thing? Like, what is, it might not be in the summer even, it might be for Thanksgiving, it might be for Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever religious holiday you celebrate, or it might be a 4th of July thing, or it might be a first day of spring, or there's probably some funny tradition that just got created, maybe out of happenstance, and now is the thing that happens. And that's exactly how traditions get started. They very rarely get started because someone was so purposeful. And I wanted to create a family trip for my family every December. That was one of my bucket list things. And this trip to the beach in the summer has gotten so expensive. I'm like, we're just going to keep doing the beach trip in the summer. I can't afford two trips. Like, we can only afford one trip, but we will just maintain this trip. This is something that we're going to do. So when you think about summer, what do you think about? Like, what is the thing that you do every summer? If you're a full-time working person, like, and you have 2 weeks vacation, like, summer, you may not go anywhere because you might use that vacation at other times of the year. But we do have different things that we do in the summer months, in the summer seasons, that we don't do other times of year. Now, thinking about my Australian friends, July is the middle of winter for you. So your summer season is actually in the middle of December. I'm thinking about the warm season. And you may have traditions for every season, but right now we're just talking about the warm months. What do you do in the warm months? And why I say the warm months is because that is when you have more sunshine. You have longer days. And while the days are not actually longer, like they're still 24 hours long, we perceive that they're longer because when we wake up, the sun is up, and sometimes when we go to bed, the sun is still up. And often I find that I sleep less in the summer because I don't tend to need as much sleep because the days are more relaxed and they aren't as action-packed. So when you think about this next summer season coming up, what have you done in the past that you want to make sure you repeat? What would be a new habit or routine or tradition that you want to start? And what are the things that are just going to go on like status quo? And this is a lot of what we do in planning day. Like last week, we talked about living in your car. This week, we're talking about summer. And this is one of the things and one of the reasons I love doing planning day, and I love doing planning day for myself, is because when you really take a minute to stop and think about the next season that is coming, you make better decisions. You make better use of your time, money, and energy resources, and you end up at the end of each season feeling more accomplished and fulfilled. And I love it. Like, I love it. And so while I may have 49 summers left, I like to think about how many summers I have with the kids under the age of 18. So little baby Grayson turns 2 this year. So this will be our second summer with him. We're taking him to the beach. That will be great. And I also like to think about when there are kids under the age of 18, are there any special experiences that you like to do with those kids during those years? So like, for example, is there something that you do when your kids are in grade school and something else that you do when your kids are in middle school and something else that you do when your kids are in high school? Big thing in the United States is to take a trip to Washington, D.C. So our kids went to a school where they actually went out to Washington, D.C. Not all schools do, quite a few do. If they don't, is that something you and your family want to do? If so, at what ages? Another thing people in the United States do is you take your kids to Disney World 1 year. What year is the best year to take your kids to Disney World? We ended up taking our kids to Disney World when they were 4 and 5 years old, which is kind of young, but I'm really glad we did it because it's the only year that we went to spend Thanksgiving with my in-laws, and they live in Orlando, so, you know, kind of close. And we just did the 1 day. Like, we just did the 1 day Magic Kingdom. That's all we did. And then there were a couple of other summers where we just did like a 1 day Animal Kingdom, or we did SeaWorld, things like that. Like, are there big milestone things that you want to do with your kids or with your grandkids? Like, now that I'm a grandma, I'm like, yay, I get to do this all over again. Okay, when do we take Grayson to SeaWorld? And when do we take Grayson to the Magic Kingdom? And, I mean, I don't know how many grandchildren we'll have. We just have one now. So that's another thing. As you are a parent or as you are a grandparent, when do you want to do some of these memorable things? And thinking about the family composition that you have, if there are going to be a whole bunch more children born in the near future, do you wait till those children? You see what I'm saying? You got to think through, puzzle through these things. Something that we talk about in planning day is I have you plan out your, I have you look at the next 12 months. We are so reactive at home. We just are. I mean, it's just like, it's just natural because there's way more on our to-do list than we could ever possibly get done. And so it's natural to just be reactive, to just do the laundry, do the dishes, pay the bills, get through the week. And our home existence tends to be very much week after week after week, very much of the same. And when you decide to do the productive home solution or you do the paper solution and you're going to organize all your papers or you're going to organize your personal and storage and family areas of your house, these are activities that we opt to do kind of like family vacations. Like, okay, this is the year we're going to get our house organized. So we're going to declutter and we're going to have a garage sale, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they're kind of like getting a new roof or getting a new kitchen. Like, we're going to clean and organize the house. That is a project that you undertake and you do, and then you're done, and then you move back into your reactive life. Like, it's a proactive thing you do inside of your reactive life. But it is rare to stop and look at the wholeness of your summer and the wholeness of the next 12 months in your life and proactively plan. And what I mean by that is thinking through when everyone's birthday is, how old they're going to be, what wedding anniversary you're about to hit, who's graduating, who's having a baby, who's getting married, who's having the holidays, when you're going to celebrate the holidays, like, and thinking about that today for December. Who does that? No one does that. I do that. I actually do that. So in planning day, we think about that. We think about, like, from today all the way until next year on today's date, who's having a big milestone birthday? Who's graduating? Who's getting married? Who's, and you're like, oh, I have someone turning 10, you know, the big double digit birthday. Or my mother-in-law is going to be 80. And that's in 3 months and no one's even realized it. And we have not planned a party and she's expecting one. You know what I mean? Like, these things sneak up on us because we just, you know, go about our everyday existence. So we look at the next 12 months and then we really hone in on the next 4 months. So right now, planning day, we're going to be talking about summer. And we're going to be talking about May, June, July, and August. And we're really going to talk through everything. Everything changes in summer. It's amazing. It's amazing. You eat different foods in the summer than you do in the fall, than you do in the spring. You just do. You just do. You do your laundry on different days. You exercise differently. You may add, like, I always add walking in the summer because it's just so easy to do. And it is just so hard for me to find the time to fit it in the fall and the spring because, I mean, I had a treadmill and then I moved a treadmill. And if we get another treadmill, we don't have space for the treadmill. I don't actually walk on the treadmill. Like, I'm just way more successful walking when I actually do it outside. And summer is the best time to do it outside. So that's when I'm the most successful. So that's when I usually add that into, like, something that I try to do. Do you think about your life in seasons like this? I mean, if you want to get productive and you want to really work on your routines, it is 10 times easier to do that in the fall than it is in the spring and the summer. Like, everybody works on their routines every single trimester, but when you work on them in September and October, you make 10 times the progress that you do in January or May. It's just a fact. Like, there is something to that natural fall energy that just propels you forward. And I realize if you're listening in Australia or you're listening in Europe, it may be very different. But in America, this is true. Like, these American, it's just the way America works. Like, September and October are the most productive months. Actually, the beginning of September all the way through the second week of November, that 10 weeks, you will get more done productively than you will in the other 42 weeks of the entire year. And so once you understand this, once you understand the cycles of the seasons and the cycles of how you use your home and energy and work and kids and all of that stuff, Then you are able to supercharge your personal desires and your goals and match them with the different energies that there are naturally occurring to go further, faster, and make exponential growth. So I hope this got you thinking about your summer. Like, what do you want your summer to look like? And how are you going to take advantage of that time? And maybe it piqued your interest into like, oh, I thought planning day was just like literally going through your Google Calendar. No, it is a big picture visionary experience that I orchestrate walking you through for 4 hours. All of these, like what I just gave you is just like the tip of the iceberg of how we go through really visioning and thinking through what you want your summer experience to be, what memories and big goals you want to be able to achieve, how you're going to change your routines and the repetitive and administrative things you have to do that are tasks of daily living and cleaning in order to find more time to do what you want to do and schedule it out. Planning Day is now available for everyone. It's no longer locked into any other course that you need to take. We've really been, over the last 18 months, I have really been thinking through Organize 365 and, I feel so blessed and so amazed at what spending more than a decade focused on the American homeowner experience has led me to. And really, it is this understanding that there's a lot of work that's happening at home. And it's not the laundry and dishes. There's a lot of visioning and CEOing and COOing and like, it's your life. Your house, how you run your house, how you play, it is literally your life, your entire life. And these systems that we've created, the Productive Home Solution, the Paper Solution, Planning Day, Sunday Basket, Friday Work Boxes, they all make the invisible work visible so that you don't run on autopilot, so you're not living in reactive mode, so that you literally get to squeeze the most out of every minute that you're given on this planet for the betterment of yourself and your family and your community. It's so exciting to me. And also, it's so hard to organize. I'm just going to be honest. It's really hard to organize the experience of not living a reactive life. That's basically what Organize 365 does. We make visible all the invisible work that you're doing, and then we reorganize it for productivity and your unique purpose. It's no one else is doing it. And so there are a lot of pieces. And so God love you because you've stuck with this long enough. Nobody's ended up in the Productive Home Solution that wasn't actively seeking the solution, because it's so hard for me to figure out how to even explain it outside of a podcast. Like web developer after web developer after web developer and marketer after marketer after marketer that we have hired to come inside of Organize 365 are like, okay, we think we have a plan. Here's how you organize your website. Here's how you organize your offerings. And then they get started and they're like, there's so much here. I'm like, I know. They're like, you created your own school. I'm like, I know. They're like, we don't know how to market this. I'm like, I know. I know. They're like, if you could just make a clear roadmap. I'm like, right. I was like, but we don't know. Is this like a 23-year-old guy that came to the website? Is it a 45-year-old woman with 4 kids living on her own? Is it like it's, you all come to the website and you're like, okay, how do I get organized? I'm like, I definitely have the answer. But everybody's journey is a little different. The components are all there, but the journey and how you process through the courses are a little bit different. And that's why, you know, like, I'm like, okay, well, if you don't have a Sunday basket, you're going to fall into reactive living. You're not going to make as much progress in the Productive Home Solution. So I tried to make it as a teacher, like, well, prerequisite, you need to have a Sunday basket. Prerequisite, you have to be in this. But you are going to choose your own adventure. And, you know, you're big people. You can make your own decisions for yourself. You can do planning day and not have the Productive Home Solution and figure it out. Or, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to force you into what you need to do. And yet I've watched thousands of people go through the process of reclaiming their lives. And I know there is a process to it. So I'm working on it. And I do appreciate all of your emails and all of your DMs where you're like, Lisa, okay, this podcast, this is this piece. And this is how this has worked for me. I mean, I'll tell you what, you love the Wednesday podcast. I love the Wednesday podcast too, because they just affirm that, yes, this is the process that people go through in getting organized. And yes, it's going to take 18 months to 3 years. I'm sorry. I didn't make the rules. It's true. If you want to become a healthy, well person, it's going to take 18 months to 3 years or longer. If you want to get out of debt, it's going to take 18 months. If you want to get organized, it's not my fault. It's not my fault that you can't do it in a weekend, and it's not just a cute printable that you download and check off and you're going to be done. You're transforming your entire mindset. You're becoming a person who thinks more visionary, that thinks more long term, that is able to see the game that is being played that you are a part of. And that takes time. It just takes time. And so, yeah, we're reorganizing it all on the website again, as I perpetually do. And it's almost like you're getting a degree in learning the skill of organization. And part of getting that degree is absolutely, you can a la carte, you can take any course you want, you can listen to the podcast and figure it out on your own and never buy the Organized 365 products, just like you could at any other institution or university. But if you want to say, I have the organizing degree and I've gone through all of the courses, then that is learning the skill of organizing. That's all the different courses that we have. And so for that reason, we broke Planning Day out and we're like, okay, well, let's give people what they want. You could buy everything a la carte if you want. You can choose your own adventure. You could do it in any order that you feel works best for your energy, for your finances, and for your skill set that you already bring to the table. Maybe you don't need everything Organized 365 has to offer and you only want the organizing. You know, I'm going to start with my PhD stuff, right? So I cannot believe, after only one trimester of school, how much differently already the languaging that I have around the work that we're doing in Organized 365 has changed. My understanding of executive function and ADHD has not changed from my schooling. But my ability to discuss it with more clarity and more specific terminology with people in the medical profession has already gone up 10x. Let me explain. I have had conversations with doctors in the medical profession about ADHD and executive function. We have great conversations and we're all on the same page and they totally agree. And I had a conversation with a doctor that I had been talking to at the beginning of my trimester of schooling. And at the end, and this is the conversation I had at the end, I said, all right, here's what I've learned. Executive function is related to ADHD, but it is not exclusive to ADHD. Like, you can have ADHD and not have a deficit in executive function, and you can have a deficit in executive function and not have ADHD. And she said, correct. I said, but they are very related. She said, correct. I said, okay, great. I still want to do my study. She's like, yeah, I want to do your study too. I'm like, great. And then I've also learned you can never prove anything. You can just support things. So I will take that word out of my vocabulary. But as we were having a conversation about ADHD and executive function, I now have done papers. And you guys, did you think that this questioner visionary was going to go through PhD school and be like, oh, yes, this is how we do? No, I'm questioning everything. Of course, I'm questioning everything. And of course, I have found research that supports parent intuition. We know what we're talking about. And there is scientific research to support that theory, that we do see differences in our children before they are available on medical tests. And there are alternative therapies that are done that are medically supported, even if they are still considered pseudoscience by a lot. And so now I am so excited, because exactly what I thought would happen is happening. The knowledge that I have about the lived American experience, especially the female homeowner experience, is very concrete in my brain. And you all know, you say to me all the time, literally, like, I'll go on Instagram, I'll share a story, and the DMs will be like, how did you know I was thinking that today? Like, I'm obsessed with you. I am obsessed with the female homemaker experience. Like, How do I, we are all thinking the same thing. You may not know how to articulate it. You feel very alone. I articulate it and you go, how does she know this? Because we are having a very similar experience. We're experiencing things very similarly. I am getting a PhD because I need to be able to take these stay-at-home mom musings that I put on a podcast and figure out how I can articulately, educably, explain those in academia and in different venues so that it makes sense, so that we can make more progress. It is the equivalent of taking a binder to an IEP meeting. When you create the Organized 365 binders for finances, for Warrior Mama, for whatever, the information that you know, I mean, does become clearer as you make the binder, and it does give you more confidence as you advocate for yourself and others when you are in those experiences. But for the most part, 90% of it, you already had in your brain and you already knew. Like, it's not like finding the piece of paper that the child has autism all of a sudden made the child have autism. No, you already knew it, but the paper gives you the substantiation. That's what the PhD is doing. I am definitely changing my thought process. I am definitely learning to think more critically, but also I'm learning how to think more critically around this idea of the experience that we're having at home and how to better explain that so that we can have more research, so we can have more solutions, so that we can have more positive, proactive conversations and less condemning and judgmental conversations about who's doing the work at home. Let's just eliminate the work. Let's just get rid of it. Like, why do we have to have it at all? And that's what I want for you. Like, I want you to think about your lived experience. What do you want it to be? It can be anything you want. Your summer right now could be anything you want it to be. Anything. There are some limitations. Do you have to work? Don't you have to work? How much money do you have? How much resources do you have? Where physically on the planet are you located? Like, okay, those are the constraints that you have. They're not as much of a constraint as you think. The way we live reactively is way more of a constraint than the actual physical of where you live and the financial amount of money that you have to spend are. Your mental constraint of your reactionary living is a way more of a constraint on what your summer will look like than those perceived limitations. So dream. What's one thing that you could create this summer that you're going to look forward to and that you will remember for decades to come? And it could be Friday movie night outside on a picnic blanket, where you literally drag the TV outside and just plug it in. Like, it does not have to cost money. It's going to take your time and your thought and planning. It is going to take planning. Because many of the traditions we have happened accidentally and then we planned to keep them going. But there are many amazing things that you've had in the past, vacations, fun events, camps, things like that, that were actually planned for you. And now it's your turn. It's your turn to plan your amazing summer.